This is the EIR podcast, where we interview entrepreneurs in residence with your host, Henrik de Geer.
Who are you and what do you do?
Yeah. Hi. My name is Dan Hogan. I am the entrepreneur in residence at Belmont University.
Dan, how are you involved as an entrepreneur in residence?
I love the work that I get to do at Belmont. The primary structure of my responsibility at the university is to make myself available for at least 3 hours a week for student interactions, guidance, coaching sessions for students, both undergraduate and graduate, that are endeavoring to put together some enterprise. And the level of sophistication of some of the kids that I have had an opportunity to work with is all across the board. Some come in with really just sort of flighty, not very thorough ideas scribbled on a piece of paper. Others have very well organized, in fact, some cases operating businesses. And so it's been a real variable experience for me, but enjoyable top to bottom. And one aspect that is incredibly appealing personally is I started my first business when I was in college. So when I get to coach these students, I get to reminisce about how much further along they are in most cases than I was when I started my first company.
Dan, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen as an entrepreneur in residence?
I think biggest challenges are, the biggest challenge that I continue to run up against is that there are certain students who have such well thought out, well oiled machine type of opportunities in the enterprises that they're building, that it is at times sometimes hard to say that they shouldn't pursue it full time. And, you know, I mean, ultimately, you never want to tell someone not to pursue their education. But in two instances over the course of the last year, I've had students who are operating profitable businesses, spending 30, 40, sometimes 60 hours a week on their companies, and then having to carry a full load of classes. And one specific student in particular was pursuing a degree in entrepreneurial studies. And their enterprise was just, it was exploding in such a positive way. And she was hiring new employees and still trying to keep her grades up. And I had to sit down with her and say, you know, this is, you're getting this degree outside of class. You know, you might want to focus on the enterprise at this point. And so she went back and talked to her family and they agreed that she needed to take a semester off. And I said, well, hold on. You know, if you leave, you're probably not coming back, even with the best of intentions. And just so you're aware that that's likely not the path for you to come back and finish. And that's okay too. Most, you know, not most, but several successful entrepreneurs have dropped out of school in order to pursue their business interests. And I do believe she ended up pulling back from school. And I think it was the right decision for her. But that was a hard bit of advice to deliver, just simply because it runs against the grain and it runs a bit afoul of what, you know, not only the university would prefer, but I just bristle at the notion of advising a young student that maybe school isn't the right choice for them at that point.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we know the story of Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates, right?
Bill Gates. Yeah, exactly. So many of them.
Mm-hmm. But those are one-offs, right? Because that's not usually the case. And I've heard of people dropping out and regretting it later, because what happens when your venture fails or collapses or gets,
sure,
you exit.
Sure.
But, you know, what do you fall back on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Dan, what advice would you like to share with other EIRs?
That's an interesting question. I think everyone's experience is likely very different from the type of student that they're working with to the environment in which they're working. But as far as my individual experience, one thing that I have found to be very valuable, and especially valuable to the students, is just making myself available according to their schedule. I have set office hours, but these students are working at 2 a.m. and Saturday afternoon. And if I'm awake and get a text message, I will respond, because that's, you know, I'm trying to meet them where they are. And I think we as a group in the entrepreneurial program have made a lot of progress because we're not being rigid with one another with regards to contact and availability. And at the same time, if I have questions or thoughts or recommendations, I don't hesitate to reach out to the students either. And that seems to be a real helpful bi-directional dynamic for us.
Dan, where can we learn more about Entrepreneurs in Residence and your work as an EIR?
That's a great question. I honestly didn't know a lot about Entrepreneurs in Residence until I became one. I'm not sure there is a real good source other than finding an opportunity to meet with one on an individual basis. What I also didn't realize was that there are several entrepreneurs in the community in which I live, and I would suspect that that would be the case in most communities. It's not just Belmont University, but Vanderbilt University here in Nashville has, I believe, 4 entrepreneurs in residence. Lipscomb has one. The Tennessee Small Business Development Center has one. And so if someone were trying to learn more about entrepreneurs in residence, I think a quick email within their community or even a Google search to find one locally would prove out to be very beneficial.
For more about this, visit EIRpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.